views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the leading edge of personal, social, and global transformation, The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, is making connections that inspire and accelerate individual and collective awakening. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and change makers from around the world to explore social change, the generative power of conscious, co-creative practice, and what's emergent with health, science, spirituality, and the evolution of consciousness. Break through the illusion of separation, explore the infinite field of possibilities, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello and welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. I'm Dr. Julie Kroll. Hey, talk about the infinite field of possibilities. Our guest today is sure to open all of our minds to new ways of seeing and being in the world. Listen to this. I vow to actualize and live according to my full moral and ethical capacity. I vow to live in solidarity with the cosmos and all living beings. I vow to live in deep nonviolence. What are those vows, you may ask? We're going to ask the co-author of the new book, The New Monasticism, himself. Richard Rohr says, there's enough guidance, connection, and wisdom in this book to keep you acting, thinking, and praying for a lifetime. The authors are trying to do what St. Francis wanted to do 800 years ago. Maybe now we are more prepared and even ready. Are you ready? This book is a transmission of the perennial wisdom reimagined for an emerging globalized world. The new monasticism is lucid and soaring, arcing gracefully between the landscapes of theology and love poetry. When you read these pages, you step into a world you have always hoped was possible and find your own place there. Lovely, huh? I invite you to take a few deep breaths. Bring your awareness into this moment. Open your mind, connect with your heart, and settle into your essential self as I welcome our guest. Adam Bucko is an activist and spiritual director to many of New York City's homeless youth. He's the co-author of Occupy Spirituality, A Radical Vision for a New Generation, and the new monasticism. I teased him at the break that he had to pick a difficult word for me, and there I did it. An interspiritual manifesto for contemplative living. Adam co-founded the Reciprocity Foundation, an award-winning nonprofit dedicated to transforming the lives of New York City's homeless youth. It's amazing what they're doing out there. You're going to have to check that out. In addition to his work with homeless, Adam established HAB, H-A-B, an ecumenical and interspiritual contemplative fellowship for young people, which offers formation in radical spirituality and sacred activism. He collaborates with spiritual leaders across religious traditions and mentors young people, helping them discover a spiritual life in the 21st century and how to live deeply from the heart in service of compassion and justice. Welcome, Adam. It is really an honor to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm really, really happy to be able to be on the show and to engage with you.
Thank you. We have a tradition here before we start talking about the book and your work in New York City and around the globe, actually. I want to set our story in a bigger story that we like to promote here on the show with a meme. So I'm going to start out, Adam, by asking you the question, what does all things connected mean to you?
Well, you know, to me, it means being able to be present to people, especially people who are suffering, and realizing that their suffering is my suffering, and that the only reasonable response to that is to do something about it, you know. Zen Master Bernie Glassman years ago when he was doing street retreats, where he would take people onto the streets of New York City and other cities, and they would spend a week living with the homeless people. He would say, you know, if we really believe in oneness of life, then when I see someone bleeding, I should be asking, is it me bleeding? And so that, to me, is, you know, what All Things Connected is all about.
That's a very powerful example. Thank you so much. And it leads right into your work and the book that you do. And our listeners are probably hearing an accent in your voice. And you grew up in Poland and immigrated over here at a very young age. I would love to set your story and how you got here with some of that history, because I think it's really powerful. Do you want to tell us how you got here to the U.S. and doing the work on the streets in New York?
Well, I came to the U.S. when I was 17 years old. I grew up in Poland during what some people call the Polish Revolution, during the Solidarity Movement, where a majority of Polish citizens decided to fight against the totalitarian system. And so as a kid, being part of that and observing all of that, I realized that social change is not just a theoretical idea. It's a real possibility, and I saw it happening around me. You know, what happens when people say yes to that dream that we all have within our hearts, that dream of freedom and compassion, and when people start organizing in small groups, encouraging each other to live according to their highest values. And so, you know, that was a big lesson for me as a kid. It inspired me to make certain commitments in my life and make sure that my life is also dedicated to working for a world that reflects compassion and justice. At some point, when I was a teenager, my family decided that we would come to the United States to essentially, you know, to look for a better life, so to speak. And so we arrived as undocumented immigrants. For the first couple of years, you know, as a 17 and 18-year-old kid, really, I was playing music on the New York City subway. That was really the first place where I met homeless people in New York City. You know, that experience led to many different things, and eventually here I am working with street kids in New York City.
Mm. One of the most powerful videos I have seen, and you might not believe this, but Andrew Harvey is the one who said, oh my gosh, go talk to Adam. Julie, you got to get Adam on board with some of the things you're doing. And I Googled you and saw the Reciprocity Foundation, which you're going to tell us about here in just a second. But one of the most powerful, moving videos was watching you going out on the streets at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and talking about your work, of you literally being on the ground. It's not that you're in an office running a foundation and pushing a pen and talking to donors. You're literally on the street doing the work. So where did the Reciprocity Foundation, how did it come into fruition? Where did it come from inside of you? You literally were on there seeing those street kids, but you literally are making a huge difference yourself. So let's talk about that.
Well, the foundation came into being as a result of a friendship between myself and my friend Tash Tagore. We both co-founded the foundation 10 years ago. You know, we both, in a sense, we're kind of conditioned to see ourselves in homeless kids. Taz comes out of a family of refugees, and I was, you know, an undocumented immigrant who experienced a lot of stuff growing up in Poland. And so, you know, we started this organization together, and both of us went through some difficulties in our lives, and we wanted to create an organization that used all the tools that worked for us when we needed help. And so that's what the foundation is. In terms of me personally, the motivation for it, my work with homeless youth started in India. In my mid-20s, I went to India to live in at a Christian ashram, at a Christian monastery in the Himalayas, where my goal was to dedicate my life to God, to spend probably, I thought, the rest of my life in prayer and meditation. But on my way to that monastery, I met a homeless kid. It was a girl who just came up to me, took my hand, and walked with me, asking me to buy her something to eat. And, you know, for anyone who's been to India, it's a very kind of predictable experience that's going to happen when you go to India, because there are a lot of people in poverty there. And so before I went, I was told by many friends not to give any money to beggars, because then you won't be able to, you know, they won't leave you alone and etc. But there I was in the middle of the night with this child holding my hand. And I think it's easy to ignore someone's words. It's easy to not to look at them, but the moment there is that human touch, you can't just say no. And there she was, skin and bones, her face was burnt with cigarettes. And so that was a moment of awakening. I remember standing there on that street and remembering the words of a philosophy professor that I had in college, who said that everyone we meet is a call that needs to be answered. Are we called to answer that call? And for me, that moment, it felt like that child was my call that I needed to answer.
Beautiful.
And so, you know, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Adam, we need to take a break. And I'd love to hear how you really put this into action, and how, what are some of those tools that worked for you guys, as well as you've pulled this into your service. It's a beautiful service here. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Adam Bucco.
Encapsulations is committed to producing the most complete line of research-based nutritional supplements, from fish oil to probiotics to multivitamins and more. Available through qualified health professionals and community pharmacists, finished products are pure and hypoallergenic to optimize the long-term health of all patients, even the most sensitive. With Pure Encapsulations, you can rest assured that you're getting the purest and highest quality nutritional supplements available. Ask a qualified healthcare practitioner about Pure Encapsulations today and discover why it's the supplement brand of choice for healthcare professionals worldwide. For more information, please visit www.pureencapsulations.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Doctor loves quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you anxious and worried? Do you feel stuck with fear and insecurity? Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My breakthrough and empowerment program has helped thousands to overcome their emotional challenges. Join me for the upcoming Breakthrough and Empowerment video seminar series, which starts on April 8th. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to find out how you can transform your life in just 3 months.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Our guest today is Adam Bucko, and he's doing so many things, from the Reciprocity Foundation to a new book. And before the break, we were talking about the Reciprocity Foundation. And Adam, you said one of your mentors, teachers said, everyone we meet is a call that needs to be answered. How beautiful is that? And you stepped right up and moved into your service to homeless youth. Let's finish that story a minute before we move on to your books, because your books have come out of this same service. I can just feel it oozing out of you.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, after that experience that I described, the experience of meeting a homeless kid, I got in touch with a friend of mine who lived in India and who operated an ashram. He was a monk. I knew him from Europe. He was this kind of a wild character in Europe who, in the 70s and 80s, was a well-known drug dealer, and he himself was addicted to heroin for 17 years. And at some point, he had an experience of God, and that changed him. He was able to let go of his heroin addiction, and he ended up in India. So the dying person on the street, and decided to bring that person into a room that he was renting. Eventually that evolved into a kind of new monastic community in the slums in Delhi, a community dedicated to both prayer and activism and care of the homeless. And it was a very holy place, you know, and in that community, probably about 200 people lived together, mostly people rescued from the streets, street kids, people dying of AIDS, people with multi-drug resistance, tuberculosis, you name it, they were there. And so I got in touch with him because I felt that he could help me figure out what it means to respond to this person that I saw, what it means to respond to that child, to see that child as the call that I need to respond to. And so one thing led to another, and, you know, I still went to my hermitage in the Himalayas, but it wasn't enough to just be in prayer and meditate. I needed to turn my prayers into actions and my actions into prayers. So eventually I moved into that community in the slums of Delhi and started working with that community on helping to address youth homelessness. And it was a very radical kind of community, you know. I mean, once a week we slept on the streets. It's very hard to describe that community because it was like a gathering of broken people. And yet in the midst of all of that brokenness, there was this strong presence of God that was holding everyone and restoring everyone to life, you know, transfiguring their wounds into something that could become their gift to the world, so to speak. And so to see that, you know, to be part of that, that experience changed me. Unfortunately, I was not able to stay there for very long. After just a couple of months, I got really sick and ended up in the States, and I continued to work with the people that I felt I was called to work. So I worked with street kids involved in sex work and prostitution. And, you know, speaking of the Reciprocity Foundation and some of the formative experiences, there was one specific experience that I remember when I was working in Florida. on the streets. I remember being approached by a young woman in the middle of the night, you know, as I was doing outreach with one of my colleagues. And she basically said, you know, can you help me? And she was standing outside of this very cheap hotel that housed mostly sex workers and pimps and drug dealers, you know. And she said, this is during the day. I look for jobs. I fill out job applications, many every day. And at night, I'm here, you know, selling my body. And my two children are sleeping in that hotel right behind me. Can you help me? Can you help me? And I realized that we couldn't really do anything for her, because if we encouraged her to come with us and enter the shelter system, her kids immediately would be taken away from her. She would be asked to get a job, which would pay a minimum wage. And then after, you know, a year of doing that, she would have saved about $3,000 or so, because that's how it works. And then she would be asked to leave and you know, get an apartment. And so that's what happens. People do that, and usually within weeks they're back on the street, because they don't have skills that can enable them to move out of low-wage, low-skilled jobs. And so that experience was very important to me, because through that experience I realized that I was part of a system that wasn't really set up to respond to the actual needs that street kids had, you know. And so again, with the Reciprocity Foundation, we wanted to create a different place, a place where we could help people to discover their calling, where we could connect that calling to specific skills and education, and help them to translate that calling into a sustainable future, a job that pays enough, but also a job that enables them to serve in the world, a job that enables them to turn their wounds into gifts and help their communities. Mm.
What a powerful statement to talk about transfiguring their wounds into something that they can give in service to the world. It's really incredible. And you had mentioned that with the Reciprocity Foundation, you started it with really the impulse to use all the tools that worked for you guys. What are some of those tools, besides helping these kids and really reworking the system that's not set up to help them? What are some of those other tools that worked for you?
Well, the first tool, I think, is, you know, when do we do well in life? And we looked at our lives and we realized that both of us, both Taz and I, we were lucky to meet people who saw something in us, who saw that something that was unfolding in our hearts, and who gave us what Richard Rohr calls a dangerous permission to commit our lives to that something, you know? And so that was the first tool, to be able to be present to people in such way that they could begin to feel that dream that is trying to emerge in their hearts. You know, how do we get to that presence? How do we learn how to recognize what's in our hearts? And for us, you know, contemplative practice played a very big role. Sutaz is a Buddhist, and you know, I more from a contemplative Christian tradition. And so we made sure that one of the things that we utilize is contemplative prayer and contemplative practice. In addition to that, you know, it's possible to discover who we are and to have a very strong sense of our calling, but how do we translate that into a life that matters? And Taz, you know, spent quite a bit of time in the corporate sector, and a lot of our corporations are good at knowing how to go from point A to point B, how to accomplish things, how to implement good strategy, and etc. A lot of those skills that they develop and technologies that develop, unfortunately, are often connected to a culture of greed and sometimes exploitation and and etc. But we wanted to isolate some of those best skills that the corporate sector developed and bring them into our work. So this way, when a kid knows what they want to dedicate their lives to, they can have those tools that enable them to gain proper experiences, gain proper skills, and translate their vision for their life into a good strategic plan that can enable them to basically accomplish what they feel called to accomplish. So that was another thing that we wanted to do. And then, you know, as an undocumented immigrant in my case, or as a child of refugees in Taz's case, we also realized that we had a lot of trauma in our lives. And we knew that the kids that we were serving had a lot of trauma. I mean, some of our kids have been molested by, you know, their family members for like over a decade. They've done sex work. Some of them were born with HIV. They've been broken, sold. I mean, you name it, they've gone through it. And so we wanted to bring all the holistic technologies that worked for us, things like, you know, proper holistic counseling, massage therapy, acupuncture, Tai Chi, and some of those things that enable us in our own lives to heal our trauma. And so we made sure to utilize all of those techniques. So that's how our program works nowadays. You know, we start with spiritual direction and contemplative practice, and through that guide people into their sense of true aliveness, into their sense of who they really are, who they were born to be. Then once that sense of who they are emerges, we connect them to leaders from the industry. Together they collaborate on projects, develop skills. That becomes part of their professional portfolio and their professional network, and then with that we help them to be placed in internships and go to college, which eventually leads to a job, which eventually the goal is for them to come back to reciprocity and serve as mentors. And in the midst of all of that, we give them access to a lot of holistic technologies, so this way they can heal from all of their trauma and work on removing all of the obstacles that they might have in their psyches, in their lives.
Wow.
You know?
Wow, I'm speechless. This is just incredible how you are serving these youth. I so appreciate it. I'm going to remind our listeners, you can find out more at reciprocityfoundation.org. That's reciprocityfoundation.org. We're going to take a quick break and hear more about the new project, the new book, right after this.
Retreat to open your senses and heal your energy. Join Lynn Brown and Wendy Wolf for Amazing Astra Allies, April 30th through May 2nd in the beautiful Methow Valley. Open to more of your astral experiences. Learn intentional dreaming and receive astral body healings in this serene setting. This retreat is almost full. To register now or learn more, call 206-931-7356 today.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
A rare and unique opportunity for listeners of the Dr. Pat Show. And get into it, winning at the game of life with Lynn Brown. Lynn is looking for a special in-studio guest to receive live on-air energy tools that you can use every day. Join Lynn as she takes you and the listeners on a journey to cleanse your energy. If you are interested in learning about your intuitive nature, how to cleanse your energy, want to create new levels of clarity and ease in your life, have not received training of psychic or energy tools previously, and are at least 30 years old, Lynn wants to help you. If you're ready to get into it and join Lynn for a powerful hour of amazing live training, email Lynn at lynn@ruintuit.com. That's letter R, letter U, intuit.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. We're here today with Adam Bucko, who is not only author of the book we're going to talk about, but the co-founder of the Reciprocity Foundation. And again, you can find more about the foundation. They're serving homeless youth in New York City at reciprocityfoundation.org. And I want to encourage you to check out adambucko.com. And there you'll learn more about Adam and both of his books that are there and his service to the world. And then the new book, which we're going to talk about now, is new-monastics.com. You can find out more about Adam and the book at new-monastics.com. And so, Adam, you just came out with your second book, The New Monasticism, and it already is being talked about in my circles. There's so much beauty there. And I opened the show with the vows that you asked us to consider as well there. So let's talk about the book and what's in that book. I know that a lot of who you are is this spiritual path and really looking at an interfaith, ecumenical way of assisting people to look beyond the boundaries and beliefs into our common humanity. So let's talk about this book.
Yes, so the book was co-written with Rory McEntee and myself. It's a book that emerged out of a few years of very deep gatherings and conversations of some of the young spiritual leaders with our elders, especially some of the monks and hermits and nuns. And the book is really our attempt to articulate what our lives have been about, and also an attempt to articulate a spiritual path for the new generation, where we take some of those precious monastic practices and vows and translate them into something that could serve young people, you know. It's a book written for everybody, really. You don't have to belong to this church or that church. And the book is really about helping young people to touch base with their calling, with who they really are, and then offering them practices and narratives that can help them to stay connected to their deepest sense of aliveness, you know, their deepest sense of caring, their deepest sense of their hearts and soul, so to speak. And so that's really what the book is. It's trying to articulate a practical and poetic theology for what we consider to be a new movement that is emerging, you know, a movement of young people who want to connect spirituality with social activism.
You know, when Richard Rohr mentioned that you're trying to do what St. Francis wanted to do 800 years ago, and now maybe we're more ready. The thing that I notice about your work and your message is that this monasticism, the new monasticism, isn't to go find that ashram or monastery and go into a life of isolated prayer. You really put it into action and allow your lives to be this living prayer, this letting your actions speak really loud and getting involved, what Andrew Harvey would say is sacred activism. So it's not really disappearing. It's really moving it.
It's not. And you know, when I look at, for example, the generation of my mentors, you know, and people who grew up spiritually during the 60s, they oftentimes, you know, had two choices that they wanted to make. One was to check out and basically go to an ashram, go to a monastery, and not really be engaged with the world, you know. And the other choice was to join the corporate America, so to speak, and do spirituality on weekends, on retreats, and etc. And when I talk to the young generation, they're not attracted to either of those two choices. They want something different. They want to be in the world, but they don't want to do their spirituality on weekends. They don't want to go to a monastery, but they want to live with that same kind of commitment that monks of old had, you know. And so what we discovered is that, you know, young people, whether they identify as Christian or Muslim or spiritual but not religious or what have you, everyone is asking the same question: what am I to do with my life, you know? And so it's really this question of vocation. And so how can we help people to get in touch with who they really are, to get in touch with their sense of calling? And what we discovered is that by putting vocation at the forefront and this question of what am I to do with my life at the forefront of spiritual life, that really connects the monastic commitment of being able to sit in the state of receptive silence with a commitment that activists and people in the world have, a commitment to action, you know. And so that practice of vocation allows both contemplation and prayer and action to meet, because you can't really know what your vocation is unless you're in a state of prayer, unless you're in a state of receptive silence and listening, because that's the only way you can hear, right? And then unless you have the courage of the activist, you're not going to be able to say yes to what you're being called to do, because your calling, you know, sometimes puts you in conflict with the institutions that you belong to, right? And so we're trying to articulate this kind of more integrated way of monasticism that could be lived in the world, in the context of relationships, in the context of making a living, in the context of raising a family, and most of all, in the context of radical spirituality, prayer, and sacred activism.
Mm. So let's put this in the context of most of our listeners. They're not homeless youth in New York City in the streets, but this book really is so universal. And you call it an interspiritual manifesto for contemplative living. What advice might you give to our listeners who right now they might be listening at work, they might be entrepreneurs and tuning in a moment when they can have a little bit of quiet time? But what would you say, how would you coach people who are really interested in moving into their own unique sense of service to the world?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, Andrew Harvey uses this question, what breaks your heart? And I think that it's a very good question. That's the question that I like to use. I like to work with three questions. The first one is, what breaks your heart? The second one is, what makes you truly alive? And then the third question is, who inspires you and why? And if you hold the first two questions in your heart for a long time, just sit with it, you know, not trying to answer them, but trying to make sure that every cell of your body is like kind of living as an answer to that, to both of those questions. When you hold your both heartbreak and aliveness, and when you hold it long enough, something happens and your operational system of yourself, so to speak, cracks. And then you'll discover that there's, when that happens, when you crack, so to speak, there's going to be an impulse in your heart that is going to start rising up. And to me, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the calling, you know. And so then if you start paying attention to that, you'll know what you are being called to do. And then the test for whether it's an authentic calling is this: are your gifts being used in service of compassion and justice, or are they being used in service of just bettering yourself? And if the answer is that your gifts are being used in service of compassion and justice, then that means that that's your path, that's your life, you know? And to stay on that path, you can't really do it unless you have certain things in place, unless you have contemplative practice that you do at least twice a day, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. That's a good start. Unless you have a spiritual director with whom you can sort through some of these questions. And then unless you have a community of friends with whom you could be in a space where it's safe to take off your mask and voice what's in your heart, share what's in your heart, and be in this kind of an intimate and prayerful circle where God literally becomes the between friends, you know?
Mm. Wow, the between friends. How beautiful is that? Your book, your writing, your websites are so full of this same contemplative conversation, and even the father of contemplative prayer, Father Thomas Keating, wrote the afterword of your new book. And so I just want to direct our listeners again, they can find more about this brand new book just released a couple of weeks ago, new-monastics.com, and more about Adam Bucco at adambucco.com and the Reciprocity Foundation. org. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with the new monasticism and more great conversation about this contemplative life and bringing it to a life of service. Thank you, Adam. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You, too, can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. And hey, I just want to invite you all. You can go and look at this archive of this show today. If you want to listen to it, refer it to a friend. Go to thedrjulieshow.com. And all of our shows, all the archives are right there. Again, that's thedrjulieshow.com. As well as stay connected all week on our Facebook page, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie. And we're going to continue this conversation with Adam Bucko. And Adam, we've been talking about your new book, The New Monasticism, and Christopher Promick said about your book, it is a sensitive and often symphonic rendering of wisdom's irresistible call to participate in the life story of God through intimate gatherings with others, communion with earth, and the discovery of the divine artist who lives in every person. And those words just made me melt thinking about your book. And I know that that's the essence and the energy of you and how the book comes across as well. It's so artistic and poetic. So thank you for this beautiful gift to the planet.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
Yeah. And, you know, when, you know, this is our last segment of the show, and we could go on and on about all the different projects you have. I know you're doing many projects to get the word out, to help these youth in New York City, from a photo project you're doing. There's a documentary on the website with the reciprocityfoundation.org. There's so much going on. What if you could just literally open the conversation to anything that you think would be important to our listeners today, what would you say to them?
Well, you know, I meet a lot of people who say that they want to commit their lives to service and activism, but they don't quite know how to get involved. They don't quite know how to start. They don't know how to pick a cause. And so they tend to engage in this kind of a theoretical struggle. What am I supposed to do? You know, what can I commit to? And I think that what I would like to encourage people to do is just find something that moves you, that breaks you, and make a solid commitment to it. You know, commit for a few months to show up at a place or an organization. And don't show up as someone who's there to teach anything. Show up as someone who wants to learn. And so listen with your whole being, you know, and combine that commitment to showing up with regular prayer, where every day before you go, you talk to God out loud about what you're feeling, what you're struggling with. And then when there are no more words to be said, just commit to a few minutes of sitting in receptive silence. You know, and through both of those activities, I'm convinced that both of those activities, when combined, they take people into a sense of knowing how to serve. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to have a big budget. Like, for example, in New York, in our Hub community, which is this new monastic community, we gather once a week for contemplative prayer. And then after that, you know, everyone brings food, we make sandwiches, and we go to the streets and love people. We can't give them shelter. We can't solve all of their problems, but we can show up with a sandwich. We can ask them for their name. We can be present to them in a way that they will feel loved. We can help them to remember that they have dignity, you know, and everyone can do that. It doesn't really take a special skill. So starting small with simple acts of generosity and compassion, just start today. That's the message that I would like to share with people, you know.
just start today. You know, the whole idea of generosity and compassion for what breaks your heart doesn't necessarily mean that you do have to go out and change the world in big ways, because what we need is people to just show up where they're at in their neighborhoods. That's what I'm hearing from you. Just show up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both social, the way that social change happens, like a lot of different things, have to happen. We need to serve people and engage in acts of mercy, as it was traditionally called in Christianity. And we also have to ask systemic questions and articulate models that will help some of the systems of oppression to shift. But you don't get to a big picture by starting with a big picture. You have to touch the pain. You have to touch those who are suffering. You have to weep with those who are weeping, you know. And then, in the midst of that, you will discover who you really are, and that will take you into your service. And it might be that you're working, you know, for some organization that is addressing strategic issues of poverty or injustice, or it might be that all you do is going to be feeding people. You will discover, you know, what is your role in all of that. Henry Nouwen, you know, used to say that all of us are like stones in a beautiful mosaic of God. And so we have to discover, you know, our unique way. And I'm convinced that it's through those small acts of kindness, generosity, and compassion, and combining that with prayer, that takes us into the essence of how we are to serve.
Mm. That's beautiful. I love listening to you. And I'm just seeing many of our listeners, those that can crochet Afghans, you know, like creating Afghans to take out to the streets to people, or giving them to a homeless shelter, or donating them to a domestic violence shelter. There's so many ways people can get involved. Thank you for this inspiration. It's really, really beautiful. I have a quote that you wrote, and your writing is incredible, by the way. And you have this really global sense about you, and yet you write from this real personal place. So thank you for your words. And we haven't even got to talk about Occupy Spirituality, your other book that you co-authored. So I have a quote here, and I just really want to bring our conversation at an end here with this. And again, thank you for this poetic way that you speak. But here's what you said. When we are deeply committed to and engaged in meaningful work, irrespective of how we define meaning as individuals, we feel alive in a profound way. We can touch our purpose. We trust life again. And we trust that we are alive for a clear and powerful reason. And just those words not only give hope, I'm sure, to the homeless on the street that you serve, but everyone listening to the show today, I'm sure, are uplifted and empowered by your words.
Well, you know, we're all homeless in one sense or another. We're all broken. And I think that we are also here, all of us, to take care of each other, to be responsible for each other, and in the midst of that, you know, hoping to discover God who can lead us to who we were born to be.
Mm. Which brings us full circle to where we started in your beautiful example when I asked you what all things connected means to you, and you talk about their pain is your pain. So, Adam, I want to just remind our listeners they can find you at, number one, the reciprocityfoundation.org. That's reciprocityfoundation.org. Learn more about the service in New York City. The new book is at new-monastics.com, or just Google the new monasticism. And then you can also find everything on the link adambucko.com. That's A-D-A-M-B-U-C-K-O. Adam@thepassionisleading.com. Adam, thank you again so much for being with us today. I feel inspired, and I'm really happy to promote this book. I encourage all of our listeners to go out and read that and check out Reciprocity Foundation.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and please pray for our work.
We will do that indeed. We'll all pray for your work and more, that this may inspire others to pick up the same kind of work right in their own neighborhoods. Thank you so much for joining us. What a beautiful show.
Thank you.
You bet. Listeners, come back next week. We have another incredible guest on board for next week. Talk about pioneering the possible. So we'll see you right back here next week. Bye-bye.
Listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.